You're listening to Bible Prophecy Daily, a weekday podcast where Bible prophecy matters and matters greatly.
Waleed Shobat, in his book God's War on Terror, endorses a very unique approach to understanding the so-called Mark of the Beast in Revelation 13:18. Most Bible scholars and teachers have understood the Mark of the Beast in Revelation to be the number 666. Shobat, however, proposes that John, the writer of the book of Revelation, did not intend for us to understand this mark as a number at all. Shobat says that John was supernaturally shown the Arabic words for "in the name of Allah" and a picture of crossed swords when he was writing Revelation 13:18. John then supposedly wrote down these Arabic letters and symbols just as he saw them. Later generations of scribes, however, apparently misunderstood John's intentions due to the Arabic symbols resembling the Greek letters chi, psi, and sigma. These scribes wrote the Greek letters instead of the Arabic symbols when making subsequent copies, and since the Greek numbering system is based on letters, scholars mistakenly believe the Mark of the Beast to be the number 666. Contextual problems. I want to begin with the argument that the context of this passage does not support Shobat's thesis. The verse in question reads as follows. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Revelation 13:18. Notice the words calculate and number in the above verse. These are words that are quite blatantly telling us that we are to look for a number. Because we see phrases like, it is the number of a man, and his number is, it would seem that John was well aware that he was intending the reader to understand the mark as a number. Shobat says the following about this problem in his book, quote, "Now consider the alternate translation that the Allah theory could produce. The Greek word sephizo, translated above as count, can also quite naturally mean reckon or to decide. Likewise, the Greek word arithmos, translated above as number, can also mean an indefinite number or multitude, multitude in the case of more than one, such as a multitude of people. With this in mind, consider the following translation as it makes very good sense. Here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding reckon or decide discern the multitude of the beast, for it is the multitude of a man. That is, Muhammad and or the Mahdi Antichrist and his multitude are identified through the following, in the name of Allah and the two swords, or jihad. Let's start with the word sephizo, which is often translated as count or calculate. Shobat says that the word can simply mean to discern or decide, and doesn't necessarily have to do with counting anything. Sephizo is a very rare Greek word in the New Testament. In fact, the only other time it occurs in the Bible is in Luke 14:28, where it says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count, sephizo, the cost, whether he has enough to finish it?" Here, the word is obviously used in the sense of counting. Jesus is talking about a man counting his money to see if he has enough to finish a building project. The word sephizo is never used in a general sense, as in to discern or decide or reckon. The Greek language has a much better word for that, dokimazo, which is used quite often in the Bible. And if John had meant to simply say reckon, decide, discern in the sense that Shobat is using it, he almost certainly would have used the word dokimazo. Shobat says that the word sephizo, calculate or count, quote, can also quite naturally mean reckon or to decide. In other words, he says it can be used without reference to numbers or counting at all. I can only imagine that Shobat looked at some Greek lexicons like Strong's or Thayer's and simply saw the word reckon and decide, but failed to read the full lexicon entry carefully, because these lexicons clearly define the word as related to counting something. I will show you an example of one such lexicon so you can see what I mean. Thayer's entry for Cefizo says, to count with pebbles, to compute, calculate, or reckon, to explain by computing, commonly and indeed chiefly in the middle in the Greek writings, to give one's vote by casting a pebble into the urn, to decide by voting. The word reckon in the lexicon entry above is expected to be understood as being synonymous with the other words in the definition, like compute and calculate. Reckon, in this case, is limited to reckoning as it relates to counting. Similarly, notice that in the discussion of how the word was used in other Greek writings, that Cefizo meant to decide in the sense of deciding by voting, which is related to counting. After consulting every major Greek lexicon that I have available to me, I have not found a single one that would allow Cefizo to be used in the way that Chobot uses it. If Chobot would like people to believe his translation, I would suggest that he needs to produce a Greek scholar or some very good argumentation that would be sufficient to overturn the understanding of this Greek word in the scholarly world. The word number, which is used three times in Revelation 13:18, comes from the Greek word arithmos, which is where we get the English word arithmetic. Chobot translates this word as multitude. While it is true that the word arithmos can mean multitude, it cannot be used the way that Chobot is using it. Lexicons give two possible definitions for arithmos. Number one, a fixed and definite number, and number two, an indefinite number, a multitude. The second definition is only using the word multitude in the same way that English speakers use the word number to describe an indefinite number. For example, there are a number of cats over there, or the number of homicides in the city has risen alarmingly. One way to show that Chobot's translation is not possible is to first show you that the Bible already has a word for multitude when it is used the way that Chobot is using it. The Bible uses the Greek word oklos to refer to a crowd of people, and it does so 175 times in the Bible, including four times in the book of Revelation, Revelation 7:9, 17:15, 19:1, and 6. When oklos is used, it is always used to describe a group of people, never anything else, only people. So, for example, Matthew 9:8 says, "Now when the multitudes, or oklos, saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such power to men." A good way to see the difference in these two words is to try to substitute the word arithmos, or number, for oklos, or multitude, in the same verse we just got done mentioning. So in this case it would read, "Now when the number saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such power to men." In this case we would wonder, the number of what? It requires a subject, because the second definition of arithmos simply means an indefinite number, where oklos means a group of people. That's it, only people. I again referenced every lexicon I have available to me, and did not find a single one that would allow for Chobot's interpretation of this passage. When Waleed Chobot says a Greek word, quote, "can also quite naturally mean something else," he needs to give some significant reasons to believe him, especially considering that the reference material disagrees with him. Chobot, in an attempt to justify his translation of Revelation 13:18, says that the Restoration Scriptures True Name edition translates the passage in an almost identical way as him. That leads us to a pretty interesting story. The Restoration Scriptures True Name edition is a translation put together by one man, a messianic author and pastor from Florida named Moshe Koniochowski. Koniochowski has many sermons that preach almost verbatim the theories of Waleed Chobot, including Chobot's Mark of the Beast theory. In fact, I started to expect plagiarism on the part of Chobot when reading over Koniochowski's material, since it was written long before Chobot published his books. Then I discovered the Simon Althoff connection. Simon Althoff was a member of Koniochowski's ministry team at one time and heavily influenced Koniochowski's end times teachings. Waleed Shobat was a good friend with Althoff in the early days of Shobat's ministry. In fact, they wrote a book together called This Is Our Eden, This Is Our End, which is now out of print. 2 years before Shobat's book, God's War on Terror, came out, Simon Althoff wrote a book called Islam, Peace, or Beast about the Islamic Antichrist doctrine, which included the exact material on virtually every topic Shobat covers, including the Mark of the Beast material that later appeared in Shobat's book. Simon Althoff accuses Waleed Shobat of plagiarizing his work in an article on his website, and the two are no longer friends. Althoff's book was published originally by Your Arms to Israel Publishing, which is Moshe Koniechowski's ministry. Shobat has since accused both Althoff and Koniechowski of being, quote, cult leaders, which practice polygamy and bad doctrine. And it should be noted that both Althoff and Koniechowski do not deny that they practice polygamy and seem quite proud of that fact. So, to sum up this point, Waleed Shobat, in an attempt to justify his translation of Revelation 13:18, points us to a self-published Bible, which he admits was written by a cult leader that he personally knows. In addition, Shobat himself clearly influenced the translation of Revelation 13:18 in Koniechowski's Bible, either directly or, if you believe Simon Althoff, Althoff influenced Koniechowski with the exact same arguments that Shobat would later steal from Althoff. Either way, this is an absolute mess, and Shobat does not gain an ounce of credibility for his decidedly awful translation of Revelation 13:18 by citing Koniechowski's Restoration Scriptures True Name edition. Let's move on to examining Shobat's thesis about the Mark of the Beast from the Greek text itself. When making his case on the Mark of the Beast, Shobat puts particular emphasis on the facsimile of Codex Vaticanus that is in the library of Bob Jones University. Shobat claims that when he visited the library, he was surprised to find that he could read the 666 section of Revelation 13:18 because, quote, it was in Arabic. The following is a picture of the two relevant pictures that are typically shown to demonstrate this theory. The top image is of the Arabic words in the name of Allah, followed by a picture of crossed swords. Remember, Arabic is written from right to left. The bottom image is from the copy of Codex Vaticanus at the Bob Jones University. There are misrepresentations in virtually every aspect of these images, but I think that the best place to start would be with regard to the history of this copy of the Codex Vaticanus and its lack of relevance to Shobat's thesis. Throughout Shobat's book, he continually tells his readers that the codex he saw at Bob Jones University is dated to 350 AD. This is significant because Shobat is trying to get us to believe that the earliest copies of Revelation 13:18 looked like the image he is presenting. So convincing his readers that the image he shows them is a very early copy of Revelation is paramount to his theory. The problem is that while much of the copy of Codex Vaticanus is dated to around 350 AD, the Book of Revelation, where we find this verse, was not included in the original, and was added by a scribe in the 15th century. The styles of writing between the early portions of the Codex and the Book of Revelation are vastly different. The style of the Greek text in the picture Shobat shows his readers is called minuscule, and it wasn't even invented until around the 9th century. All of the early Greek writings of the New Testament were written in a style known as unical, which looks nothing like Arabic. In the image above, from the P47 fragment of Revelation, which is dated to around 250 AD, you will notice that the Chi Tsai Sigma, that is 666, look very different than the way it is presented by Shobat. The same is true with every single early copy of the Book of Revelation, such as the P115 fragment, in which you can see that, for example, the sigma looks very simple, like the English letter C. All early Greek writings were written in a completely different way than in the picture Shobat shows. Remember, this is a picture which he dishonestly says was written in 350 AD, when in fact it was written over 1,000 years later in a type of Greek writing that would have been completely foreign to John or any other Greek writer at the time. As I said earlier, there are misrepresentations in virtually every aspect of Shobot's images, so I will need to take this section by section in order to debunk it. I will start with the Greek letter chi, which Shobot says is really a picture of crossed swords. It should first be noted that there's no actual correlation with chi, which looks like an X, to any Arabic letter or word. When Shobot says he was surprised he could read this section of Revelation 13:18, he couldn't have been referring to the letter chi, since there is no Arabic letter equivalent to it. Instead, Shobot claims that John was shown a picture of crossed swords by God, which he says is used universally throughout the Muslim world to signify Islam. So the first thing that we must accept, if we are to believe Shobot's theory, is that God showed John a mixture of Arabic words as well as a picture to John. It seems more likely to me that Shobot, when finding no way to incorporate the letter chi into Arabic, had to resort to claiming it was a picture instead of an Arabic word. It is obvious that Shobot would really need to emphasize the universality of the crossed swords relationship to Islam in order to make this theory coherent. But the crossed sword symbol is far from a universal symbol of Islam. In fact, most jihadist flags, banners, and badges don't contain any swords at all. Some of them have only one sword, if any. There are a few that have two crossed swords, but only an extremely small minority of those contain the words "In the name of Allah." The most common Arabic phrase on Islamic insignia is the Shahada, which says there is no God but God, and Muhammad is the messenger of God. And it looks nothing like the Greek symbols for chi, tsai, and sigma. One of the many reasons that Shobot sticks to the version of Revelation 13:18 produced by this 15th century scribe is because of the way that that scribe wrote the letter chi, which is different than other scribes. It should be noted that with Greek minuscule texts in the 15th century, it was common for scribes to have their own unique style. This particular scribe wrote the letter chi with the flourishes on the bottom two legs of the X, which made it possible for Shobot to claim that they were sword handles. There are two problems with this. The first is that this is how the scribe wrote the letter chi in all the other instances of the letter in the book. See picture above. There is nothing unique about the scribe's letter chi in Revelation 13:18 than any other instance of the letter chi. He didn't add sword handles just to this verse, but apparently he added sword handles every time he wrote the letter. The second problem is that this scribe's particular style, when writing the letter chi, putting the flourishes on the bottom two legs, is different than other scribes of the era, see picture below, and indeed is not consistent with how the letter was written at any time, including all the earliest copies of the Book of Revelation. If flourishes were to be added to chi, even in the much later minuscule texts, they were almost always on the same line. Shobot's theory wouldn't work with these images because that would mean that one of the swords in the picture consists of just two handles, while the other is just two blades. We will keep running into reasons why Shobot must stick to this particular 15th century scribe's version of Revelation. Let's move on to the next letter, the Greek letter tsai. Shobot says that the Greek letter tsai in Revelation 13:18 corresponds to the Arabic word for Allah. The first thing to note is that this is not how tsai was written in John's day, nor is it the way it is written in the earliest copies of the Book of Revelation. Notice that the letter is not curvy at all in the oldest copies of Revelation. Tsai was originally just three lines, but by John's day had developed into more of a jagged zigzag form. It would not be for almost another 800 years before the letter tsai began to be written with the curvy fashion that Shobot shows. The line above tsai. Here again we will see an example of why Shobot emphasizes this 15th century version of Revelation in the Codex Vaticanus above all others. Notice that the line above the letter tsai is only above that letter in this illustration, though it must be said in the actual Codex Vaticanus the line extends just a little bit more over the other two letters, which will be important later. Also notice the flourish that the scribe adds to the line. In other manuscripts, the line extends over all the letters in the series and does not contain the flourish that we see above. As mentioned previously, the Greek alphabet doubled as the Greek numbering system. To avoid confusion, Greek writers would draw a line above the letters that were intended to be read as numbers, with the line clearly extending over all the letters and without the flourish. Shabbat's theory is wrong because in the oldest versions, this looks nothing like the word for Allah when the line designating the numbers is shown in the correct way. Upside down Allah. Another thing Shabbat has to do in order to make this theory work is turn the word Allah on its side and then display its mirrored image. Here is how the word Allah is written in Arabic, and then you can see if it's turned 90 degrees and then its mirrored image. It seems very unlikely to me that God would show John the word for Allah flipped on its side and reversed. It's even harder to believe that if John saw the word for Allah right side up originally, that he would have decided to flip it around and reverse it himself. Shabbat deals with this problem by saying that in some cases, like when the word for Allah is written on a circular object, such as a coin, it can be written on its side. This may be true for circular objects, but it's not true in any other case, nor does this explain the reversal of the word. It's just as wrong for Islam to write a word on its side and reversed as it is for an English speaker to write an English word on its side and reversed. I believe that just as in the case of the crossed swords, Shabbat is doing everything he can to force Arabic words and symbols into the Greek alphabet. The Greek letter sigma. Shabbat says that the Greek letter sigma in Revelation 13:18 is really the Arabic word bismi, which means in the name of. Here again, the Greek letter sigma looks nothing like it would have in the era that the early copies of the New Testament were written. In the image above, notice the absence of the dot that appears in the image below. In the case of bismi, the dot is a very important part of the Arabic word, but is not and never has been a part of the Greek letter sigma. The dot, seen in the 15th century Greek text that Shabbat uses, was actually a period, since the chapter ends with the number 666. Punctuation marks were not even added to this text until well after the 15th century. In conclusion, we have seen that Shabbat's theory fails in several ways. His attempt to rewrite Revelation 13:18 by explaining away the words for count and number was utterly ridiculous, defining Greek words in a way that no Greek lexicon or Bible dictionary agrees with. His pointing to Connie Ochowski's Restoration Scriptures True Name Edition was almost funny, considering that he influenced Connie Ochowski's translation, and that Shabbat himself considers Connie Ochowski to be a cult leader. We also have seen that Shabbat continually misrepresents his key text of the Codex Vaticanus in the Bob Jones University Library, without which his theory cannot work, as being written in 350 A.D., when in fact the section of Revelation in that book was written in the 15th century. We have seen that in order to make the Greek texts look like Arabic, he has to insert an image, cross swords, instead of letters, turn the word Allah on its side and reverse it, act as if the line that the Greeks used to designate numbers was connected only to Zai, pretend that a period added very recently by a scribe was in the original and is actually an Arabic symbol, and above all, act as if the Greek minuscule text was somehow known of by scribes in the first century, despite the form of writing not being invented until the 9th.
Thanks for listening to Bible Prophecy Daily. We hope you learned something valuable today. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss an episode.